Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good Thursday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. You are listening live to 106.7 The Fan. We are in the Navy Yard in our Half Street Studios downtown in D.C. And we are taking you all the way up to 6:30 tonight and pregame ahead of preseason Capitals hockey. Danny, top of the afternoon to you.
What are you saying, my dude? I've already lived a couple days today. It's a weekday in the fall. I get it's a religious holiday, but the boy's not in school. So, man, it's just, that's tough. That's tough. Just, I'd love it if it were different. I'd just love that school to be open and those boys could just go to that school and we'd see them tonight.
Maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe tomorrow. We'll try again.
We'll try it again. To get the kids back in school. 4 o'clock, we're giving away tickets to the Caps season opener a week from today. They're taking on the Boston Bruins, both tonight at home and for that opener. So in 7 days, when they kick off a brand new season, you can be there. They're giving away schedule magnets. We've got those tickets ahead of the Beltway Blitz in 2 hours at 4 o'clock right here on The Fan. We should let people know as well. I've had a couple people hit me up today and ask, where are we going to be for our Friday field trip series? And we are actually going to make one of our lone stops all football season long in the nation's capital.
In the district, baby.
We will be in D.C. from Public Bar Live over on 18th Street Northwest. So Public Bar on Friday. D.C., here's your shot. Let's do this thing. Virginia shows up. Maryland shows up. Frankly, we don't do a whole lot in the city. And there's a reason for that. Parking's hard sometimes. Getting people out there can be difficult. But we have done plenty of events at Public Bar over the years. Danny and I both love being there. It's an awesome venue. Great TV situation, giant big screen. Food is really, really good. It's in a cool little area, and it's always gone very well. We even did a weird event there one time you may have forgotten.
Oh, I remember.
With a porn star
named
Mia Khalifa.
So there we go.
That was a thing that happened. It was me and Danny.
Okay, so far that makes sense.
And Mia Khalifa.
That's where it...
You know who wasn't that happy about that event? Allison Paulson. It was not her favorite event that
we've
ever
done. What did you think was going to happen? That you guys were going to hit it off?
No. It wasn't as much that. It was more the, why are you doing anything with a porn star?
Oh, I see.
Like, is that what we're doing now? Is that what we got into this for?
My wife laughed at me. We're just knowing how awkward I would be about it. Speaking of that, by the way, 15th anniversary today for your pal. 15 years. Married.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 15th anniversary.
I was thinking, we haven't
Not of my date with a porn star or anything. No, just my wife and I.
Congratulations.
15 years, man.
Is today the day?
10-2-10, bro.
How are you guys celebrating?
She actually knows now, so I got her the gift. We are going to go back to the site of our marriage. We got married in New York at 632 on Hudson, which was the house that the first cast of The Real World lived in. And they turned into this beautiful event venue, so we're going to go stay at a hotel close by, kind of rewalk and do some of our things that we did 15 years ago today.
That is awesome.
Yeah, man.
That's a long time.
15 years, bro.
Congratulations.
A few things have changed. Teams got real good, won a couple titles, and then got real bad. Dan Snyder didn't own the football team anymore.
Three kids later?
Three.
Making moves.
Man. Yeah.
Is October the best sports month?
Oh, me.
Danny?
Yes.
Somebody tweeted this out. I wish I remembered or jotted down who it was so I could give them credit. But they basically pointed out, it is the only month where you are guaranteed the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NBA, and the NHL. There are some other crossover months where possibly your teams will play depending on postseason and how long things go or whatnot. But you get, if you're a four-sport city, you get Wizards, Caps, Major League Baseball playoffs, and the Commanders all at once. And if everybody's good, now we're talking about just heaven on earth. Nats playing a division series game one night, Wizards opening the next, Caps playing the Penguins the day after that, Commanders on Sunday. I think this is as good as it gets because I'd throw in weather. I'd throw in the fact that today I went to a pumpkin patch with the kids and bought them some apple cider donuts, and I loaded up the back of the truck with wood for fires in my solo stove. Yeah, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
October. If October was a football team, it'd be 15-2 at the end of the year.
Every year, too, by the way.
Josh Allen,
the best
quarterback.
They have a genius for a GM.
Who would be October's best defensive player?
Is it like a Swiss Army knife kind of guy that has 10 sacks, but also like 7 picks? You know what I mean? Just somebody that like just knew a new prototype of rush linebacker that also covers great.
Derwin James.
Just something so spectacular. Like he would have the pass rush acumen of TJ Watt, but then cover like Kyle Hamilton. TJ Hamilton's his name.
I did that today, Danny. We picked out a couple pumpkins. The kids ran around and played on a little playground over in Burke at whatever pumpkin patch we were at. We scooped up some apple cider donuts. We filled up the car with wood. That's living.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
This is as good as it gets.
So I think October is the easy one seed. It's hard to find the number two sports month. To me, my nominee would probably be March, simply because it's stretch run for the other major sports. The NFL's done, so there's nothing. It can't compete there. But you get college basketball tournament,
spring training, baseball,
which is the best. End of March is the start of the regular season. Opening day is always like March 30th, somewhere in there.
Now-ish, yeah.
Yeah, stretch run of NBA postseason coming up, NHL playoffs run, kind of stretch run. So that's, to me, probably the next best, but it's a distant second. I mean, a distant second. October's perfect. Finality, full swing now of the NFL season. It's no more of their like preseason type stuff where I'm not sure what's real, what's not. You got a pretty good feel. These matchups are so good. You've got your fantasy teams, your rosters, your betting, your DFS all set up. It's perfect. As I said, playoff baseball, the kickoff of a couple other seasons. It's perfect, dude.
Today was the first day where I look at the weather and a little chilly, a little nippy.
There's a 5 is the first digit, man. There's a 5.
I got a hoodie on today for the first time in the fall. We're getting there. All right, let's go quarterway mark of the Commanders season to kick off the show with superlatives, okay? This is not your high school yearbook, but we're going to give out some superlatives anyway. We've got Darius to dial some of these up for us, and then we'll give his our answers. We are unofficially at the quarter mark. Now, remember, everything's been ruined because it's an odd number of games. There's no such thing as actually having played a quarter of the season. We'd have to stop the game sometime in the first quarter or something this weekend so that we could do this segment for the real quarter poll. I don't think Washington would allow us to do that. The Commanders would be like, no, we're
just going to
keep playing the Chargers if that's cool.
That makes sense.
But this is the best we could do. So, roughly, the 25% mile marker here, just like you used to get your first batch of grades coming home, let's hand out some superlatives.
Let's hand out the superlative for best on offense here at the quarter point.
Easy one for me. It's Deebo Samuel. They think so, too. They give him the ball the most. Leads the team in receptions. Leads the team in receiving yards. Has 7 carries for 46 yards. For the first downs, the touchdowns, working underneath, working middle. Even had a down the field kind of a little, maybe call that a fade. I'm not sure what it was, but it's far enough away where it's, to me, closer to a go ball. Deebo Samuel has been their best player.
I agree with that. I'm going to zig just a hair. I'm going to go with the guy that would be number two on my list, which is Jacory Kroski-Merritt. He's got 2 touchdowns, which from a rushing standpoint leads the way. He's also got 172 rushing yards, which is 65 more than anybody else. He's also caught 3 balls. So if you look at Debo's touches, it's 29 total. Jacory Kroski-Merritt's actually touched the ball more, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
32 touches for him. His combined yards on the season are 187. Deebo Samuel is sitting at around 250 and change, the only guy with more on the team. But I'll just give Jacory Kroski-Merritt a nod here. 6 yards per carry, been explosive, handled himself well. When he's had the football, good things have happened.
Who is your best on defense?
Didn't do a ton this most recent game, but Dorrance Armstrong still has been their best defensive player. Leads the team with 3 sacks. I know that's not all the end-all be-all, so I'll add the supplemental stuff. Leads the team in tackles for a loss with 5. 19 solo tackles for a defensive end setting the edge, and oftentimes you're not able to make the tackle. Your job is just to funnel traffic in a different way. 4 quarterback hits. All of those things lead the team. Tackles doesn't, but everything else does. He has been their best player through 4 games.
I'll say Javon Kinlaw then. I think he's probably number 2, but just again, to give a different name. Armstrong statistically has been the guy, your NFL leader going into this past weekend in pressures and in pressure percentage. Armstrong's been splendid, but what did Javon Kinlaw get brought in here to do?
What he's doing, yeah.
Blow up the run game. And in at least the 2 wins, he's magnificent. Only 1 or 2 plays where he was noticeable in Atlanta. I don't know that anybody stood out at all at any point in the Green Bay game. So it's kind of batting 500 here. But when they've been good, he's been great. And I do think the idea of him, what they thought he would be when they paid him the money that a lot of us said was head-scratching and we didn't understand, they've been more right than us so far. This guy looks like an impactful defensive tackle.
The award for biggest surprise goes to...
I'm going to say Chris Rodriguez. When I showed up at training camp, I didn't know if Chris Rodriguez was going to make the football team. Wasn't really sure how this was going to go. But Chris Rodriguez has carried the ball 18 times for 98 yards already. He ripped off a 48-yard run this past week. This has all come in the last 2 games post the Eckler injury, so he's not going away. He's going to be getting 6, 8, 9 carries at times this season. He's going to be rushing for 30, 40 yards. Previous regime's guy has kind of hung around the building. Now he's getting opportunities. The guy that I would say my expectations were most exceeded by so far would be Chris Rodriguez.
Another Chris. Chris Paul. I mean, is he going to make the team? You know, he's part of a crunch now because you look, they're moving Brandon Coleman over. We get Allegretti can play multiple spots. You know, Biotish is there. They brought in George Fant. Where does he fit in? How about starting the last couple of weeks and doing a pretty good job? That's a huge surprise to me. Is this his third regime? I can't even remember what regime we're on for him. He's been around, dude. Good for him.
Who's been the biggest disappointment so far this season?
A couple different nominees here for me. There are easy ones for folks, and I'll let you grab one of them. But when I expect you not to perform very well, and you don't, that's not a disappointment. Again, I thought there'd be more from Ben Sinnott. I know he's a blocking tight end, but that's not why we're here. You don't draft a guy in the second round to be a glorified extra lineman with John Bates out, with no receivers healthy last week, not involved in the passing game at all, other than to occasionally protect, just, you know, plays a fraction of the snaps, usually 15 to 20 on offense, and he's a blocker. And that's disappointing to me for a guy that was drafted that high.
Yeah, there's a lot of options. You could go Marshawn Lattimore on defense for sure. They bet big on him. He has had a disappointing start to the year. I think you could know Noah Brown, who played in 2 games and has been hurt in the other 2. But I'll go with another receiver with a similar resume. Terry McLaurin, who has played in 3 games, had his lowest catch total through 3 games of his career, and then has since missed a game, and it looks like he's trending toward missing a 2nd consecutive game. After the holdout, after not his fault necessarily, or maybe it is, but I think it was everybody's fault. Nobody's hands were clean. A really distracting month in July and August, one of the few things that kept the team from real harmony coming into the season, it hasn't been overly helpful. I got 17 targets and 10 catches through 5 football games at the end of this weekend from a guy I'm paying $30 million to. So I get that it's an injury. It's not his fault. I'm not blaming him for getting hurt. But if you're asking me what I wanted, what I needed, what I'm getting, biggest disappointment, I got to look at some of the higher paid guys on the team, and he's right at the top of that list in terms of AAV at this point.
Who's your most improved from last year to this point of this year?
First guy that comes to mind for me is Luke McCaffrey, in that he scored 2 touchdowns in back-to-back weeks as a wide receiver, something he didn't do at any point last year. Not like he's been a monster or anything, but do you realize he's the number 2 kick returner in the NFL right now?
Yeah, wow.
Do you know who the number 1 kick returner is?
Deebo Samuel?
It's his teammate, Deebo Samuel. Clearly, Larry Izzo's doing something right. Maybe it's Tom Izzo who's helping him out, the college basketball coach.
It stands to reason.
Michigan State, yeah. I'm not really sure if he's scheming it up or if it's Larry, but I'll give Larry the credit until I hear otherwise.
Larry or Tom, yeah.
But number 1 and number 2 in kick returns, so McCaffrey has been dynamite in that regard. Back-to-back games with touchdown catches. He's made the most of his opportunities, and he's shown up. So I like the way he is trending there.
A little cheap for me because I've already named this person, but it's Dorrance Armstrong. I mean, he continued his hot run at the end of the season last year, but into the playoffs. He was a 5-sack guy all of last year. He's on pace to shatter all of those career totals, but last year's totals in a couple weeks. he's been sensational, and he kind of carried over that hot play from the postseason. It wasn't just a nice couple of weeks. This is maybe who he is from now on, where he is a difference-making, havoc-wreaking defensive end. He's going to blow past his tackles for loss career totals, blow past his quarterback hit career totals, has a chance to supersede all the sack numbers that he's had given the good start that he's been off to. I think he's the answer.
You know who else I would throw into this conversation for most improved too? This is going to sound weird because he's a former Pro Bowler, is Daron Payne. Payne, for so much of last year,
it makes sense if you know, yeah,
was on a milk carton. And I think he's been very noticeable. His performance has been loud. He has been an obvious positive way more often than not defensively. I think you're just getting a much better brand of football out of him.
And who's been your biggest regression from last year to this year at this point?
This one's not fair, but through a couple games, it's Jaden Daniels. Hasn't been himself, got himself hurt. Whether that's, you know, it's not his fault, obviously, but coming out of the gate, sub 60% completion percentage, not much there in terms of dynamic throwing the football. Yards per attempt are paltry compared to what he's done in the past. Again, that's not going to be the case the rest of the way. He needs a week or two to get his sea legs underneath him. Then he's going to go back to being Superman, but he has not been the guy that we saw last year.
So I'm not going Jaden. Nothing you said is incorrect. It also just feels like something everyone will get upset about.
Yeah, I know.
I won't wade into those waters. You can if you want to. He's also played like 1¾ or whatever it is, healthy football this season. I think there's a very obvious answer here, and it's Mikey Sanristil. I don't know what's going on with Mikey Sanristil. He's obviously playing a different position, but it's his natural position. It's the one they drafted him to play that he's really, really good at, theoretically, in the nickel. But last year, the level he played at, I thought, was fringe star in the secondary. Like, this is a guy on the precipice of making a significant leap to being one of the better young DBs in the entire league. This year, through four games, he's been somewhere between frustrating to watch and a liability. Now, do I think Mikey Sanristil is going to have a bad season all year? Of course not. This is an excellent player. He's an awesome leader. He's one of my favorite guys on the team. If I'm buying my son today a Commanders jersey, I probably am rolling with a Mikey Sanristil, and I'm feeling good about that purchase because of the man he is, the leader he is, the player he is, what he's going to be long-term in this organization. But we're just talking about four games. We're talking about the quarter point of this season, and so far, you look at the numbers, targets against, catches, yards, the plays given up, it just hadn't been as pretty. And so I'll say that he's been the guy that's regressed for me. I don't really know why either. I don't know what's going on. You would think, Danny, when you get back to your natural position, last year was the ask that felt like it was aggressive.
Asking a rookie to do everything?
Hey,
yeah.
Hey, bounce out to the boundary. I know you haven't done that a whole lot. But also, we don't have anyone on the other side, so make sure occasionally you can help us shut down number one receivers. That was the ask. And he went, no problem, I gotcha. And he put a cape on. This year, they go, get back to the spot where we know you're going to be awesome. And through a month, it's been rough.
And he hasn't been. I mean, that pick has kind of masked some of the deficiencies there, to your point. Great play on that one. Hoping for more of those, and maybe, you know, that's just kind of the world we're in. But yeah, it is.
And by the way, I just chalked that up more to a bad ball than, like, he did his job. He was sitting in zone. He made a leaping catch. That was a terrible pass by Penix.
London
was wide open behind him on an inbreaker.
Yeah, often picks are, I mean, honestly. But yeah. So you took advantage. But yeah, to your point, it's like, well, he's got a pick. Dude, he down in, down out, he's not been himself. I'm long way of agreeing with you. I think it's an epidemic in their secondary. I don't know who, what, where, when, and why. I don't know. Again, I don't know how much is coaching. I don't know how much is thinking these guys are players that they're not. But it looks like everybody's kind of caught the disease, and he seems to have it. If I had a better explanation, I'd give it. But his regression makes no sense to me. Lattimore's does, because I don't think he can play anymore. But Sanristil, I got a pretty good sample last year. I don't know what happened.
I don't like breaking out the red pen and sending home report cards as a teacher.
Mm.
It's not my favorite thing.
No.
I like sending that report card home with Luke McCaffrey.
Give me a smiley face.
His dad's going to take him out to dinner. And I remember my brother one year, for getting good grades, got Timberland boots. Everyone was getting Tim's.
Oh, that's amazing.
And that's all he wanted was like Tim's. And my dad's like, if you get B's or better. And my older brothers, were not particularly fond of, how will I say this, applying themselves in
schoolwork. Yeah.
Getting good grades was not one of the things that they did. So that time he did, and he went and got his Timberland boots. So Luke McCaffrey gets Timberlands. That's good.
Nice. He can go eat some chocolate lava cake in his Timmies.
He has earned that right. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We are closing in now, just 3 days away from game number 5 for the Commanders. What do we feel best about and worst about as it pertains to Sunday's matchup? And at 2:45 today, everybody's upset at a TV analyst. Should they be, though? Did he really do anything wrong? That's all this hour on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Grant and Danny on this Thursday. Welcome back. You're locked into The Fan. We are broadcasting live all over the DMV on 106.7. We're also live a little earlier than normal today in Richmond.
Don't be alarmed, Richmond.
AM 910, FM 105.1. You are with us for the duration. Just sit back, put your feet up, and enjoy.
My feet is up.
Odyssey app, wherever you go, coast to coast. Take us with you. Pause, rewind the show. Chapters available to you. And, of course, you can watch us in very high definition if you want to see the cleaned-up beard today. 106.7 The Fan YouTube page is where you do just that. Danny, Chargers on Sunday. What do we feel best about and worst about? We do this every week going into the matchup. So some numbers here on L.A. before we really get started. The Chargers on offense are ranked right now this moment number 9 in the NFL. They are the 10th best rushing team, the 13th best passing team, middle of the pack in terms of interception rate for Justin Herbert, and middle of the pack, believe it or not, in sacks per pass attempt as well. But that's only because he's done an unbelievable job at not turning pressures into sacks.
Yeah.
I went back and rewatched every one of his throws last night. He is under duress almost every single
snap. It feels instantaneous.
Snap. It's crazy how much pressure he's been under. We talked about it. 50 pressures the last 2 weeks for him. Now, the story for the Chargers is their defense, which is going to get their coordinator, second-year Jesse Minter, a head coaching job this offseason. They're number 4 on defense overall in yards per play. They're number 19 against the run. They're number 2 against the pass. And they are 6th at getting to the quarterback and getting sacks this year. So when you look at this Chargers team, we're looking for something you feel really good about for Washington, something you feel really bad about. Let's start with the positive. The matchup favors the Commanders because?
Both of my answers, by the way, are going to be on defense. I think Washington is not particularly great up front. I think you're going to have games like last week where they're a non-factor, where quarterbacks are very comfortable. You're going to see that probably more often than not. But when an offensive line is overmatched, see the Raiders, you can take advantage of it. This group can. I think that by maybe the rush four, maybe there'll be a few more exotic looks in there, make a group that's already struggling to compete have to communicate and compete. Maybe a blitz here or there. Frankie Louvu and company might get home a time or two. But I do believe they will be able to get some pressure. Now, what they do with it, you know, that remains to be seen. And you need to turn some of those into interceptions and fumbles and tip passes and some things to create a little more than just regular chaos. But I do believe this group will be able to get some pressure.
That's the best thing I think they got going for them this week in playing the Chargers when they're so banged up, missing both of their tackles, is that they're going to generate pass rush. But one of the other things I like is I actually think Washington's strengths defensively, forget the pass rushing element of this, which we've talked about ad nauseum already this week. I think what they do well plays into kind of how the Chargers want to operate a little bit. And here's what I mean by that. The Commanders can stuff the run.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at some of the numbers on Amarion Hampton as a ball carrier, he has been hit at the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage at one of the highest rates in the NFL. Surprising for a Jim Harbaugh team, but they have not really been all that great on the interior at blocking things up so far. So I think this is a Kinlaw, Payne, Goldman, Newton game to win the line of scrimmage and to put LA in some bad downs and distances. And that's where Now all of a sudden against a really banged up and just porous, bad offensive front based on what we've seen. That's where I think you're going to get your pressures. You're not necessarily going to have to blitz to do it. I think you'll be able to win. The question is, though, Danny, they have struggled, not just this group, this iteration, but I feel like here, organizationally, since I was a kid, with quarterbacks breaking their back with big scrambles and mobility. And don't look now, but Justin Herbert, who's got wheels and is an athlete, he is starting to turn up the heat a little bit on his scrambling.
I mean, he won that Kansas City game with an enormous get out of jail. I can't believe he escaped that scramble for double-digit yards that iced the game for them.
He is scrambling to run on a career high about 6% of dropbacks. Doesn't sound like a lot, but that is 10 times in 170 dropbacks. He's never scrambled at this rate, and it's climbing game by game here. He's turned those 10 scrambles into 95 yards, four first downs that break your back, and three explosives of 10-plus, and some really big ones there. In fact, his yards generated while scrambling, EPA-wise, plus 0.74 EPA per carry, is third best in the NFL. Only Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen, as scrambling quarterbacks, have had more success this season. The Commanders have allowed a league high 8.8 expected yards per carry to opposing scramblers this season. So you got a team, well, they haven't gotten beat by it a lot, but you're facing a Michael Penix who doesn't really move, Russell Wilson who doesn't move. When quarterbacks have chosen to scramble against this team, they have been more efficient doing it than against any other defense in the league, and Herbert is really excelling in that area. That's something I worry about.
So for me, my concern is going to be my concern every time they play a football game until it isn't. At some point, the ball is going to be in the air. You can't get home on 40 dropbacks, right? If the Chargers call 30 pass attempts and, you know, three end in, that's probably more than that, call 35 pass attempts. If three end in scrambles, three end in some incompletions or, you know, hurried throws where he throws it away, you know, five or six are regular old incompletions, there are going to be 20 sometimes where the ball is in the air towards a wide receiver. That guy's going to be open, that guy's going to have separation, and that guy is going to be able to run for days. I am terrified of what happens until it's fixed, and it has not been fixed yet. The last three games, teams have been able to throw it on them at will. The ball's going to be in the air at some point. Justin Herbert is splendid. He'll escape. The ball's going to be passed either Quentin Johnson or Ladd McConkey or maybe Tampton out of the backfield, and Washington can't handle it. That's my fear.
The Najee Harris injury is a killer for them in a lot of ways. The veteran pounding physical back who would help you with time of possession and do some of the intangible things in the locker room as well. But sneaky early in the season, I think this has actually benefited them in a sense to just give the ball to the better player. Amarion Hampton's a really, really good football player.
Yes, he is.
And they were going to do this timeshare thing like you're seeing in New England where they've got Travion Henderson, but they're still going to make Antonio Gibson and make
Ramondre Stevenson
happen. And Ramondre's like, yeah, I'll take my nine carries if you're going to give them to me. What would be best for business for that offense is just to get the ball to Henderson in space. And for the Chargers, now they don't really have a choice. You don't get to mess around with the plodding running back. One other thing that I feel good about watching the Chargers, going back and just watching every offensive play the last couple of games, I don't know what's going on with Ladd McConkey. He's in a little bit of a funk. He dropped the initial third down. Go back and watch that play. He's like wide open on a 3rd-and-7 or something against the Giants. He's at the sticks. Just a complete drop. He's been out-targeted by both Keenan Allen and Quentin Johnston this season. So he went from last year an 1,100-yard player who was one of the better, more utilized receivers in the league to being their number three utilized receiver at the wideout position. In this offense, right now, his target rate has dropped 7%. His catch rate is down 14% in terms of ball thrown to him. Does he actually haul it in? Some of those are drops. Some of those are that he's better covered. I don't really know what's going on yet, but it has been a very slow start for Ladd McConkey. And like a month ago, when the Chargers were on the schedule right before the kickoff of the NFL season,
that's the guy you circle.
I'm like, oh, damn, Ladd McConkey's going to go 9 for 117 against him. Right now, I'm worried about Keenan Allen, who's like a plus-size tight end, basically, running around. And I'm worried about Quentin Johnston down the field vertically, who's having this monster breakout season. Now, I say that, and I'm sure McConkey in the slot will end up working him. And, you know, the matchup with Sanders still is favorable for him based on how Mikey's played. But just right now coming in, I'm telling you, Ladd McConkey is not playing like you think he should.
No, and listen, it's if the production has gone elsewhere, to a degree, right? You already mentioned it, but Keenan Allen back has been a boon for them. He's running those kind of short intermediate stuff, just winning with physicality and you know, unbelievable route running and technique. 24 catches, 231 yards. You could do some easy math there. That's sub 10 yards a pop. The difference has been Quentin Johnson to me. Is that they're throwing it downfield. Like, that's where the eyeballs are. And you would expect that Jim Harbaugh offense to do that as much. It's ground and pound. It's, you know, Rex Ryan lets you to bleep and snack from a handful of years ago. I can't wait to give it to Najee Harris 20 times. And they've kind of morphed into this new thing where they are slinging it down the football field, which is not as much McConkey's territory. But I've been surprised, too, that he's not been anywhere near as effective. I know fantasy owners were furious, taking him kind of borderline end of round one in deeper leagues and PPRs and kind of, you know, middle of round two, certainly. 16 catches for $174 is way more pedestrian than people thought.
I like how they're using Quentin Johnston. They've unearthed him a little bit. Greg Roman deserves a lot of credit. He got beat up in Baltimore, understandably at times. But this does not even look like a Greg Roman offense.
It doesn't at all.
Like, you're like, wait, that's the play caller? That's the OC of this team? This suddenly 2025-proof pass-first Chargers team? But yeah, it's Greg Roman. He moves Johnston all over the place. You talked about this, but he lines in the slot now. 15.5% of the time, which is a career high for him. He's caught 10 of 15 balls for $147 and 3 touchdowns against man. So when they get him one-on-one on the outside, he's won on some double moves. And he's a scary guy. Now, I think it's a pretty good matchup for Lattimore because he's not a shifty guy. He's not one of these explosive dudes necessarily. He's like a, you know, SUV, basically. Like, when he gets going, he can run by you. But he's not overly twitchy. He's more of a physical wide receiver, which theoretically is what Hanzy Marshawn Lattimore should be able to defend. But that's what Drake London is as well. I wanted to play this clip really quickly. This is from Take Command. Logan Paulson and myself host that Commanders podcast a couple times a week. We were looking ahead to this matchup. And when Logan studied the tape on the Chargers defense, which is really, really good, he saw some air that they allow for quarterbacks to exploit as runners. And he actually thinks Cliff should bake a lot of quarterback runs into this game, designed runs. Now, if Jaden is going to play, and it almost certainly looks like he will. It would take a major setback for that not to happen. There's a chance he's playing with a knee brace. So if that's happening, can he be himself? Can you slide? Can you get down? Sometimes the knee brace makes that quirky and weird for quarterbacks. I'm not really sure what that'll look like, but I know that Logan thinks that is one of the ways that you can actually beat a defense that has been really, really good.
I went back and watched all the explosive runs given up by the Chargers. And they're number 5 in terms of explosive runs given up, or number 2. So they do give up a lot of explosive runs. And I'd say over 60% of them were on scrambles. So Patrick Mahomes had a bunch, Geno Smith had a bunch, Bo Nix had a bunch, and so did Jackson Dart. So if Jaden Daniels is back, his superpower, in my opinion, is dissecting zone. And this team does play a lot of zone and running when there's open rush lanes. And I think one of the things about Jesse Minter and this defense is they want to bring pressure, but on third down specifically, they want to bring a lot of simulated pressure. And so in that simulated pressure with the 4-man rush, if you pick it up, there's huge running lanes for the quarterback. And you've seen that over the first couple of weeks of the season. So I think this is a great opportunity to kind of get back some of those offensive efficiency numbers, especially if Jaden Daniels is at 100% and playing the way we saw him play the majority of last year.
That's Logan Paulson from Take Command. Don't listen during 2 to 6:30, but otherwise, go check out
other times are fun.
That Commanders podcast. Next, Danny, this has been chapping you a little bit.
Yes.
You brought this up, something you wanted to talk about today. One of the very popular Major League Baseball analysts out there calling a playoff game yesterday got in some hot water with the internet, and you never want to get the internet upset for something that he said. But did he actually do anything wrong? That's the question on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready.
maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Thursday on Grant and Danny live on The Fan. We'll take you up to 6:30. Remember, we're giving away tickets to the Caps home opener a week from yesterday. Wednesday night, they're taking on the Boston Bruins, October 8th. So if you want those tickets, if you want to be in the barn as they open their season, it'll be electric at Capital One Arena. You better be listening at 4 o'clock right here on The Fan. So speaking of hockey, the Major League Baseball playoffs are on ESPN, and ESPN has the NHL rights, as is very common practice during a telecast. Coming out of a break, ESPN was promoting their content and had brought up that NHL opening night is looming. This broadcast team on ESPN is actually the Orioles broadcast crew, Kevin Brown and Ben McDonald, in the booth together. ESPN has them both as freelancers. Ben McDonald does a lot of college baseball for them, went to LSU and is huge on the SEC currently.
Yep.
And then Kevin Brown is one of their down the totem pole kind of play-by-play guys for all of their baseball content. He's fantastic. Well, you hear the exchange here, and Ben McDonald ultimately take a pot shot at the NHL, saying he's not going to watch any of the games on ESPN. And you would have thought that he went around kicking everybody's dog that's on Twitter. He took a lot of heat for this. But I want you to hear the audio, and then we'll get into the conversation.
The Blackhawks return to the ice next Tuesday, NHL opening night against the defending champion Florida Panthers at 5 Eastern, 4 Central on ESPN. Triple header that night. Penguins, Rangers, Avalanche, Kings. Ben, I know you got an opinion on this. Panthers three-peat this year. What do you think?
If you say so, I mean, good luck to them. Are you asking if I'm going to be watching?
No, you'll be watching, of course, because you work for ESPN. You'll be watching Friday night. I'm
there is zero chance I'll be watching. I'm just going to be honest with you.
Where will you be?
I will be somewhere, but there's zero chance I'll be watching.
All right, thanks, Ben. We'll be watching. Thanks for the rating.
So that's Kevin Brown, Ben McDonald in the booth. You are way more worked up about this than I am, so I'm going to tag you in before I give my thoughts.
The phenomenon here is there are two ways to look at this. One, if you are a network executive at ESPN, you would go, hey, man, please don't undermine our programming. There's a reason we have you read a promotion. None of you people that are screaming at Ben Johnson about this on the old interwebs, none of the John Bucci-Gry of the world who are trying to make fun of his major league career, which is insane, by the way, are doing anything that has anything to do with ESPN network executives saying, hey, don't undermine our programming. So the second part of it is the real part that I want to address. It's the defensive, whiny, spoiled hockey fan that believes in order to be a sports guy, you got to love hockey. Hockey playoffs, there's nothing like it! And everyone and gnashes their teeth and screams in hysteria. I watch the Capitals, man. As soon as the cap season's done, my hockey season's done. A lot of people like that in their local marketplaces. So the baseball analyst, the baseball lifer that talks about baseball for a living, that played in college and played in the pros, did more than all you guys that are ripping him, by the way. Nice 5 ERA of the major leagues, Ben McDonald, LOL. Nope, not funny at all. He's not interested in the start of the NHL season for two teams he has no connection to during the major league playoffs. The major league playoffs will be happening the same night that whatever two teams are playing. I'll be watching that too, by the way, the Major League playoffs. And if you're not a baseball fan, I'll be just fine. Rip it all you want. There is this chip on your shoulder defensiveness among like the hockey only people that they can anything that says something other than it's the greatest thing there is, and they cannot handle it. And that's what this is, a tantrum. So again, you got an ESPN anchor. I think Buttrigas still works there, right? At the Worldwide League?
Yeah, he's the main hockey guy.
Like, making fun of Ben McDonald, and not in like a playful, fun way. Be like, hey, thanks for the vote of confidence, buddy. LOL. Or, well, I'll be on TV. Maybe, you know, we could FaceTime you. Or, hey, why don't we get you to a game? See if we can get you addicted. Went all in and decided to, like, take to be butthurt about it and join the online parade of people that are ripping Ben McDonald for it. If you're a network executive at ESPN, you have grounds to say, hey, please don't do that. That's not a great action. If you're not, get over it.
Right.
That's what I have.
Which I get. I understand that you are generally annoyed by the hockey fan that, like, chirps you and you never tweet about hockey because of it.
Yes.
So really, this is, I think, kind of, like, personal and very under your skin.
It 100% is that.
But I think as much as the reaction of hockey people to go in on Ben McDonald, John Buccigross, who I love and who's been on the show many times, among them, is ridiculous. Calm down. I think your reaction is way over the top, too. Like, your anger and fervor for this back at hockey fans seems too much to me. Like, I think both are overreacting in a sense, in a way. Him not being interested is not a problem. You're like, he's a baseball guy. Why should he have to care? The baseball playoffs are on. That's not a crime. Nobody cares. On the network, while promoting the event, he takes the shot at the sport, essentially, in these people's minds. And you do have to acknowledge, fair or not, I think it's fair, hockey fans are like the fourth kid. You know, they're already listening to be aggrieved, so to speak, because correctly, accurately, they get the shaft on coverage from their network that has the TV rights, whichever network that is. They're going to cover football more. They're going to cover the NBA more. They're going to cover baseball more. With whatever time they have left, they'll give the NHL. So there is a little bit of, like, looking for reasons to be annoyed, which I understand. But I guess my lead here, my number one takeaway is no one should be bothered or offended by this. Ben McDonald said something that was kind of funny. It was a laughing moment with a buddy. By the way, Kevin Brown probably regrets setting him up the way he did, but they're very close, and he knows he's not a hockey guy.
Because the initial was like, yeah, huh? Good luck to him.
I think he was expecting a good luck to him. And something like, yeah, I love that team. Are they going to win again? Way to go. And they'll keep it moving. And then he kind of goes in and says, I won't watch for a second. He's like, sure you will. It's on ESPN. Trying to save him a little bit. And then he's like, no. And he doubles down. Like, I will not watch for 1 second that night. What are you doing? I don't know, but I won't be watching. So not a big deal. It was a funny moment, largely. But I also totally agree with, it was a dumb thing to do, in a sense. Like, it's not like you said it in the fourth inning of a game where they show a guy in a hockey jersey in the crowd. And they're like, oh, look, hockey's almost back. And he's like, I wouldn't know. I don't care about that sport. To me, that's nothing. This is promo graphic is on the screen coming back from break. Opening night. Let's get excited. We're going to blow it out at ESPN. And the ESPN guy goes, yeah, not me. Hockey stinks. I could see being bothered by that as a hockey fan. Would I take to Twitter to yell at him or make fun of his ERA? Absolutely not. But in the same way, if we were promoting something on this station, Virginia Tech football or whatever it is, and you just go in on how terrible it is and how you're not going to be listening to it, I bet you CK probably would be like, Danny, what is that?
Like, right, and that's who should be irritated at that. Like, that's the list. The network that's spent...
So a hockey fan has no right when someone goes out of their way to take a swipe at hockey to be like, I didn't like that very much. That wasn't cool.
I suppose you have the right. The same.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Well, all I'm saying is, it should not be the hysterical drama that it is. Like, the people are again acting like he's trying to get the sport eliminated or something. Like, saying they should ban it. Like, he literally.
I just think, like, people have sent off some tweets. Now, there have been, again, some polarizing, awfully divisive, like, posting his worst game ERAs or whatever. Buccigross's tweet is the only one really I've even seen, to be honest with you. But, like, he went 0-100, I thought, where it's like, this is a bad look for you, buddy. Calm down. And if that's your point, I totally get that. But I feel like hockey fans get slapped around a good bit, and they're going, why are we catching shrapnel before our opening night when you're just teeing up our game that's going to be on in a few days?
If that was the sentiment, then I'd have a lot more empathy for it. But it's not. I mean, you know how it goes. I mean, it's my same phenomenon, similar phenomenon, by the way, to the WNBA, where there were complaints about the manner of interest that the sport was generating. So in other words, like, for the first time, it's crossed over from a small hardcore audience into a bigger one, and then everyone's angry about it. Okay, sorry to bother you. I'll go back to not caring.
Angry
again.
About what you mean?
The kind of attention that the sport was getting.
Gotcha.
Right. So I said, all right, that's fine. I'm happy to go back to not paying attention again. Whenever there's something like this, where he again the baseball lifer is talking about the two teams he has no connection to, he's like, "Yeah, good luck to him, I guess. I don't know." The Major League playoffs are on.
Had he have said that, no one would have batted an eye.
But everyone's—it's beyond batting an eye. It's terrible take. Hockey's so great. Like, why? Like, why does it? Why is anyone bothered that the Major League baseball nerd, the dude that eats, breathes, and sleeps it?
Why wouldn't you do that to every promo ever? Then I mean, because obviously it doesn't make sense to do.
No,
every time on Fox,
but you're conflating
a TV show. Well, but you're saying, why is anyone bothered? Because it was out of place. It was not the time or place to zing hockey net. It wasn't a debate on hockey.
You can go, well, that was weird. That's very different than like the butt hurt screaming and Buchergras.
I guess I just don't know enough about the butt hurt screaming.
Why? Well, it's the internet version
about
of it.
Tom says on Twitter, I guess.
Which is you're right, but again, Buchergras is the leader. Like I'll pick on him because that's one of the ones I saw. Like he's
I think he overreacted.
He's holding the torch, and we can go down the hall to listen to Russell's podcast, where I'm sure he's screaming about it all day. And another example of the media not doing high, like ignorance, and like yelling at me probably. Oh, I wouldn't know, but that's the point.
I mean, you handed him ammunition. You can't be mad when he fires at you.
Sure you can. I mean, there's no ammunition is my point.
I disagree with that.
Like this is like the. I keep saying the same thing. The baseball lifer in the middle of the baseball playoffs, not tuning in to something, like he's probably not watching the F1 race this weekend either. I know the promo is just read. I think you're going, hey, from a broadcasting perspective, that's stupid, which I think everybody agrees with. And so I think you care more about that, the broadcasting part of it, as say, hey, you shouldn't do that. And if I was advising him, I'd say, probably don't do that. Your employer.
Absolutely. I guess I also just have more empathy for the hockey fan that's going, the hell was that? I'm just sitting. Hey, Ryan's sitting there yesterday, and I forget what you did.
But
you said something, and he just caught shrapnel. Like, if I'm a hockey guy who gets no mention ever by ESPN in any coverage ever, and they bring you up only to knock you back down in the middle of a baseball game, you're like, the heck was that? I don't need to be swatted away by Ben McDonald for no reason. In the middle of a promo about my biggest night of the year? I could see why a hockey fan is annoyed by that. That's all.
Mm.
But I don't know enough about it. Sounds like there's like major rioting happening or something in league headquarters.
It's the internet version.
You know, people on the internet stink. So I'll agree with you on that one if they've gone too far with their anger toward Ben McDonald. Joe Witt has gotten some shrapnel on Twitter as well of late. The defensive coordinator of the Commanders spoke today. He made some points about this defense, why they've been bad, how they get better. We're going to go through those next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.